What up, what up? Welcome back to the There's More podcast. This is your host, Hannah Nitz, who loves talking about the more in your relationship with God. Do you know that there's more for you? I grew up in the church. I've known God my whole life. I've been so just fixated and in love with the idea of the gospel and the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus. But once I understood this and received this gift, I felt like it was my job then to tell others about God. And this became most of my relationship and interaction with God was God for other people. It was like, I'm already saved. I got that on lockdown. Now let me go tell other people. And in 2019, God blew open my eyeballs and invited me in to more for me. That there was more to enjoy, to delight in, to experience, and to walk in with God for me. And that there's this never-ending more of being with Him and enjoying Him and just not getting enough of Him. And that's what this podcast is about. I really love focusing on people who know God, many of us, for years, but have missed out on this delighting and this intimacy with Him. So that's what we talk about. And today, I think I'm doing something brand new, which is having a part two of an episode. That's not my normal. Usually, I yak on about it for 35 minutes. I close the door. I move to the next thing. But for some reason, I couldn't fit this one in one episode. So help, I'm bored in the Bible. Part two, here we go. The last episode, Help, I'm Bored in the Bible, was to answer a question that I'm asked all the time. Sometimes it's a question, sometimes it's a statement of, I don't understand what you're talking about. My time with God feels a little obligatory. I wouldn't say it's in my top five favorite things to do. Or something along the line of, when I do get in the Bible, when I do prioritize this time, I'm a little bored. What do I do? So we started that conversation last episode, kind of going through these five things not to do. Five things on the no list, okay? So just as a refresher, I said, you can't do it without God's Spirit. This isn't about your Bible. It's about time with God. Number three, I don't want you to be productive. Stop using a reading plan or a Bible study. Number four, you don't have a discipline problem. You have a hunger problem. And number five, don't focus on you. Get to know God. So my hope is that those were really helpful, but I felt like this conversation needed to go on. More tips, kind of what are some of the things that we do as we sit down with our word and have this question, have this thought of, man, I really want to enjoy this. I really want to enjoy the Bible. I really want to enjoy my time with God. And I'm just not. So I've loved hearing from some of you after that episode last week. Some of you who are brand new to a relationship with Jesus and spending time with God. And some of you who have known God for decades and been at church your whole life and said, yeah, but if I'm really honest, I've never enjoyed this quiet time situation. So here we go. Part two, help, I'm bored in the Bible. Do you remember this question that I read last week from Leah when she said, how do I start to read the Bible like you do? For me, it feels like dieting. I know what to do and it works and it feels good at first. But I usually bite off more than I can chew, and it's great for a while, but after a few weeks, it's just not sustainable. Then I skip a day, then 2 days, then bam, 6 weeks goes by. I have not cracked open the word. Do you have any advice? So as we're beginning part two of Help, I'm Bored in the Bible, I just want to start with this really important thing at the beginning. Are you ready? Take some notes. This is the important part, okay? God's Spirit reveals. God's presence has fullness of joy. This is so important to start with. This isn't about becoming a more disciplined Christian. This is about learning how to walk in step with the Spirit, how to experience this mind of Christ that we have, that we are one spirit with Him, that His presence is with us, that Jesus came to bring us back to God in relationship with Him. It's not about the Bible, okay? It's about that God's Spirit reveals things to you, that His presence for you has fullness of joy, that this isn't about you, dear listener, and it's not led by you. We enter into God's presence. We make ourselves available. We come spiritually hungry and we say, God, I want you. I want more. And friends, without this, we'll miss it. Do you remember that when Jesus was tempted by Satan? Y'all know Satan, the bad guy, okay? We hear about Satan from the very beginning. We see him at the beginning with creation. We see him trying to take the worship of God, him literally becoming the enemy of God, okay? Satan is God's enemy. He's our enemy. He's the opposite of everything that Christ came for. He steals, he kills, he destroys, he is sin, he is darkness, and he rules the world. He's the kingdom of darkness, okay? It's bad news. But when Jesus was tempted by Satan, so when Satan was like having a conversation with Jesus, guess what he did? He quoted scripture. Isn't that crazy? Do you guys know Satan knows his Bible? Yeah. Like, he knew the word, he knew when to use it, and he quoted it. In fact, he had it memorized. Satan has parts of scripture memorized. If you know scripture, and if you even memorize scripture, and if you go through scripture, that does not turn you into a lover of God. Let Satan be our number one example. So as we're starting this conversation, what I want to say is scripture doesn't do this. Knowing God does. Knowing God turns us into lovers of him who delight in his presence. And we do that through his word. We don't want to read just to read. We don't want to become enjoying our Bible time just to say that we are. It's because we want to experience God and we want to experience the beauty of the relationship and the intimacy and the union that Jesus came to give. So this is why we're not just people who want to get good at reading our Bible. We want to be good. That's not even the right phrase. We don't want to be good. We just want to get to know God, okay? And speaking of that, that's going to be point number one today. What do we do if we're bored in the Bible? What do we do as we get into God's word? Friends, we get to know God. That's number one. And this goes with what I opened this episode with. We do not get in our Bibles to learn theology, to get wisdom, so that we can become someone who reads the Bible or know the Bible well. Those are great things. And we do get those things from reading our Bible. But I think the main treasure that I really just want to encourage you to focus on, especially if you feel bored in the Bible, is this focus of getting to know God. I just read through this old workbook that I had on my bookshelf here in our office from a church leadership event that I was at in 2015. And there was a section on spending time with God, and this was the quote at the very beginning. It said, "Maintaining a consistent quiet time with God is very challenging. It's like developing an exercise routine to get into shape and then maintaining it. The return is worth the investment." You can't hear my eye roll, but I just gave such an eye roll to this. Maybe an eye roll isn't the right response. To be honest, it's more of a deep sigh, more of a heartbreak. Because this is how I heard, at this leadership event in 2015, I straight up heard it from leadership. But this is how I heard spending time with God talked about my whole life, this comparison to exercise. And I don't know about you, but I don't like exercise. I don't. I wish I was like my friend Noelle Beck, who works out all the time, but I don't enjoy it. And for me, comparing spending time in the Bible to exercise was not a motivator. I mean, I was like, yeah, that's another one of those things that healthy people do and I don't, and I'm doing just fine without it, you know? I'm trying to get back into working out, but anyway. This is the way that reading my Bible was talked about. And what I would like to do is I would like to cross off this sentence and completely eliminate this idea and instead say, you are invited to the greatest invitation of getting to know the creator of the universe intimately. Like getting to know God, just you and him out on a date. We're not going to compare this to an exercise plan. We're not going to compare this to a diet. There is a beauty, friend, that you are invited to. Something that Jesus came to give us is getting to know him. So I've talked about also the word eternal life and how I believe it's connected to this idea. If you're bored in the Bible, number one, get to know God, because that's what eternal life is. I always thought that this eternal life was this thing we were waiting for. It was this thing to come in heaven, this thing that we got to once way down the road, once we passed away. It's something that I was looking forward to. But in reading the book of John, I came to understand that eternal life is something that we get to experience now. And when I read through John, it was in the book of John 17 times, the phrase eternal life. Jesus talked about it a lot. And I did a whole podcast episode on this because I ended up looking up this word eternal life and reading that it is the word zoe. And in the Greek, it means the fullness of life, a real, genuine life, active, vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in this world for those who put their trust in Christ. It also means after the resurrection, a new body that lasts forever. So does this also include heaven? Yes, but it starts now. Like, it's this life, this fullness of life experienced with God now. And this is what Jesus said even in John 17, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. In John 17:3, Jesus himself says what eternal life is. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you have sent." Man, eternal life is getting to know God. It's knowing God and knowing who he is. Relationship is the goal. Man, and this definition shook me up so bad, because all of a sudden I began to see that Jesus didn't come just to get me into heaven or to clean me up because I was such a sinner. He wasn't just looking at heaven and hell and hoping to get people out of the flames. He was looking at my life right now and looking for relationship and this restored relationship between God and his people. The goal is to know God, not knowing what he did, not knowing the story of the cross, not knowing my Bible verses, but knowing him in the closest way possible through my regular time with him, my pursuing him like a real relationship. My thirst for him, I get to experience this whole new way of living. And this is eternal life. So, sweet friend, when you're bored in the Bible, number one, I would say, ask God to give you a heart to get to know God. Number one, as you crack that puppy open, do it with the heart of, I want to know God. Number two, what do we do if we're bored in the Bible? Go slow. I'm talking sloth slow. I'm talking a baby who's just learning to crawl and can barely reach a toy in front of him slow. I'm talking Hannah running the mile in elementary school slow, okay? Listen, here's what happens. We're a busy people. We're a quick people. We're an efficient people. And this happens to me all the time. I'm gonna ask you an honest question. How many of you are listening to this not on regular speed? Maybe 1.25, maybe 1.5. Brittany Van Beek out there, I know you're listening to this on double speed. We are an efficient people. We go fast. We like to achieve. We like to accomplish and cross it off the list. But when it comes to time with God, let me tell you what that does. When we have an agenda, a certain amount of scripture we have to read through. I want to get through this chapter. I want to finish this book of the Bible in 2 weeks, whatever your goal is. When you have an agenda, there's things to get done. And when you have a timeline, there's not a lot of space to linger. When you need to finish a chapter so that it counts, quote unquote, as your time with God, your eyes are so focused on the finish line that you're not even taking in where you are. It reminds me of when I was dating Caleb. I'm pretty sure this advice came from Matt Coons, who was a teacher at our high school. Shout out Matt Coons. When we were dating, Matt told Caleb, "Listen, if you could go out on a canoe with a girl for 8 hours with nothing with you, okay?" No, at this time, honestly, we're so old. We didn't even have smartphones then. If you go out on a canoe for 8 hours, no phone, no games, nothing going on, just you and a girl for 8 hours, and you don't run out of things to talk about, this is a good person to date. I actually believe he said this is a good person to marry. But why would Matt say that? Why is that true? Why would this be some sort of barrier to entry to be in a relationship to someone? I mean, this slow enjoyment, this no agenda. This I'm not needing to come up with things to talk about and quick figure things out. We just are going slow. We're lingering. We're seeing something jump in the water and it reminds us of a weird memory of our brother growing up, and we tell the story and we laugh about it. We're going slow. We're enjoying the relationship. We're getting to know each other. And there doesn't have to be something to entertain us. Just the two of us together is enough. And I think of this often when I'm encouraging people. If you're bored in the Bible, go slower. Stop rushing through the chapters. Stop skipping over the verses. Just go slow. I had a conversation with someone recently who I would say is newer to enjoying more with God. He's diving into time with God and his presence and is just loving it. And he told me that he is currently trying to read through the whole Bible in a couple months. And he's like, Hannah, I can't put it down. Like, I'm reading it on my phone. I'm listening to it in the car. When I have a spare moment away from all our kids, I'm picking up my Bible and going through it. And to him, I'm like, yes. Like, everything about this is amazing. When God has put a hunger in you for his word, yo, keep going. Like, that is incredible. And I'm so excited for you and slightly jealous. Like, I wish I was powering through the Bible in a couple months. So when I say go slow, I'm not saying this is a universal thing. Like, if you're trying to read through the book of Mark in one afternoon, I'm not going to ever tell you. That's a bad idea. I'm just speaking to the man or the woman who's looking at me and saying, man, I'm kind of bored in God's word and I don't know what to do. I would just say for me, learning to slow down and not feel like I have to finish a chapter or get through a book made such a big difference. So as you're reading through the Bible, if you've heard the story before that you're reading, go slow. If it's something brand new, a verse you've never seen, go slow. If you already know the story, you already know the parable, you already know what Jesus is about to say, don't skip over it because you're like, nah, I already know. This is what I would have done with the word eternal life. I thought it meant heaven. Turns out it didn't. Go slow. If it's a verse that doesn't make sense and seems insignificant, go slow. And the point isn't going slow. Like, that isn't the main thing. The main thing is that we want to know God. And when we take our time and we really say, God, I want to know you. Spirit, guide me. Father, reveal things to me. I'm not going through this just to finish it. I'm going through it to be with you. I promise you, it is such a different experience. Okay, so number one is you're getting into the word. Have a heart that wants to get to know God. Number two, slow it down, baby. And number three, grab a pen. So I'm a big fan of using a physical Bible over your phone. Is this necessary? No, absolutely not. I'm sure someone else could come on the mic and tell you their main reasons on why they use it on their phone, and good for you. Whatever works for you, I feel great about. For me personally, here's why I'm a big fan of a physical Bible. Number one, to be honest, it helps me remember verses better because I'm pretty visual. So when I read through Galatians and a verse stood out to me, I can picture where it was on the page and find it easier. It's just like, visually, even just being able to flip back and forth through the pages has become helpful. Number two, I use a lot of the cross references at the bottom of the Bible, and there's something simple about reading a verse, looking at the bottom of the page, and flipping to the next verse that really helps me just get in a mental spot where I'm like, this is what I'm doing. I'm engaging this word and nothing else around me, you know? And then number three, just, I don't know, pretty obvious in 2023. It feels less distracting than my phone. It really does. And you can put your phone on do not disturb and on sleep mode and whatever so notifications don't come up. But I am a girl of little discipline, and the Instagram calls to me. The text messages beckon me. I want to see the picture I took earlier of how cute my daughter is in her rainbow dress, okay? So something for me about putting my phone to the side and having a physical Bible is helpful. But the reason that I say for point number three to grab a pen is because I once heard this quote and I really agree with it. The quote is, the difference between reading your Bible and studying your Bible is a pen and a piece of paper. So friend, if you were coming to me and saying, hey Hannah, can you help? I'm bored in the Bible. One of my first questions would be, I'd ask, are you using a notebook or any sort of paper as you read. The reason why I say this is because as we go through the word, if you're starting, let's say, in John, and you're reading through, there is a difference between just reading a chapter of the Bible versus reading a few verses and grabbing your pen, grabbing your notebook, grabbing a piece of paper, and just writing a few things down. What stood out to you so far in these verses? What questions do you have? What feels weird? What doesn't make sense? Or what feels too repetitive? What are you observing? What words do you see that are jumping off the page? Which words are you curious about what they really mean or what Jesus really said? What in the story are you curious about? Are there any things you feel like you want to look up or know more about? Just write this stuff down. Write down any of that. And it doesn't have to be cute, and it doesn't have to have the right answers. It's not like you have to figure this all out. Just write down a bunch of questions, write down a bunch of observations, and really use this like you would getting to know someone. Why are you saying this? What's up with this? When I first started getting into the Bible for the first time, which actually, let me open this puppy up because I want to pull the actual date here. Here it is. May 2009. Nope. That ain't right. May 2019. So this is the very front of this Bible. I bought this in May 2019, and I wrote under my name, as I'm learning to hunger and thirst for God. So this was my first time, as I've shared before, getting my own Bible and reading through it, not because the pastor told me to, not because I was going through a small group, but just me and God diving into this, saying, God, I want to get to know you. And a tool that I use that I've talked about many times before is a wonderful tool for learning to read the Bible called Simply Bible. It's a workbook, and it kind of has the structure where it helps you read through a whole book of the Bible and essentially teaches you what to do with that pen and piece of paper. Like, what would it actually look like to break down the Bible verses you're reading and not just quick read through it, but get to know God, but actually study it. It has no teaching in it. It has no fill in the blanks. It just has a couple verses each day that you're working through an entire book of the Bible. And then it has these 8 boxes, like observation, words that stand out to you, cross-references. It has all these different blocks, and it teaches you how to read the word on your own. This is not needed. You could use a pen and piece of paper and begin to do this. But for me, this was so helpful to teach me how to do this because I was brand new. And I was always so bored in the Bible. Now, I will warn you, others have picked up a Simply Bible and said, this feels too much like homework. Like, there's too many boxes. There's too many things I got to figure out. And if you feel that way, set it down. Don't use it. But I'm just telling you, for me, that was such a great place to start, of grabbing a pen, writing things down, and saying, I want to dive in to what I'm reading here, not just to know stuff, but to know God and enjoy him through his word. And doing that with a pen and a piece of paper makes a huge difference. So if you're bored in the Bible, I would say, hey, friend, God's word is a literal treasure chest. But here's the deal. It requires a shovel. God has hid these priceless gems about him and about you just a couple inches under the dirt, a couple inches under the sand. And we got to grab the shovel and dig a little bit to get to that good stuff. When we quickly read it and don't take the time to dig in, man, we miss a lot of the beauty. And I just want to keep telling you, you don't have to be smart to figure this out. You really don't. God gave this word for his people to know him, and it's in there. We come hungry. We come dependent on his spirit. We come with a pen in our hand and say, God, show me. All right, so you're bored. What do we do in the Bible when we're bored? We're talking through the steps. We gonna one. We gonna get to know God number two. I won't wrap the whole thing. We're gonna go slow. Number three, we're gonna grab a pen. Number four, let the Bible teach you the Bible. Y'all, this is where it's at. This is my number one recommendation, shift, tool, practical help. That made a huge difference for me, but you really have to go through these other three steps first. But hear me out. Number four is pretty baller. Let the Bible teach you about the Bible. I'm talking about two things that blew up God's word for me. Number one is cross-references, and number two is definitions. Okay. You guys know what cross-references are? I think I would have known what they are a couple years ago, but I don't think I ever used them, but I knew what they were. But if you don't, in a lot of Bibles, not all of them, because sometimes the Bibles have like minimal things, minimal extra things like notes, cross-references, all that stuff. But I don't know. In my Bible, in many Bibles, at the very bottom, there's these tiny little numbers and verses. Okay, so let's give an example. I'm in Matthew 13. I've been obsessing over parables recently. Have you read parables recently? The parable of the sower. I've just been all about it. I'm like, man, I've heard this a million times, but for some reason, as I'm reading it now, this feels crazy. I feel like I need to understand this. So let's use an example in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 11, Jesus is describing what the purpose of parables is. And he says, he answers them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. That's a weird verse. So does God not give the kingdom to some people? I was so confused by this. So here's what I do. Well, let me start here. Here's what's tempting to do. What's tempting to do is to open a commentary and to see what some smart Bible person tells me about what this verse means. Is there something innately wrong with that? No. Bible commentaries are great. But here's what happened to me for a long time. I would read the Bible like this. I'd come up with a confusing verse. And my first move would be, let me see what the experts say. I would read what the expert said and said, oh, cool. And I would move on. Okay, so let me tell you, to me, that felt a little boring. Now, when the Bible teaches you, listener, about the Bible, and God's Spirit himself reveals something to you, that feels different. That hits different than just reading what an expert says. And I want you to have these tools so that as you're reading God's word, you, my friend, are being able to find these treasures that are buried in his word without having to first step, go ask someone else. Does this make sense? Okay, so back to Matthew, where was I at? 13, verse 11. I am now going to go to the bottom of my Bible where there are cross references, and I'm going to look up Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. And it says, essentially, this is what a cross reference is saying to you. Hey, if you want to know more about this verse, and if you want to understand it more, and if you want to see what in the world are they talking about here, and where else is this issue talked about without the Bible, check out a cross reference. That's how I would define cross references. So the bottom of my Bible is telling me cross-references for this verse are Colossians 1:27, 1 Corinthians 2:6-7, 1 John 2:20, Romans 16:25. So guess what I do next? I read those verses and I see, what is God saying about the kingdom of God here? Does he say it's given to some and not others here? Who is it given to? These are things I would write down on my paper because I'm saying, God, I want a curious heart where I want to know you, and I don't just quick read through this. And as I read these other verses, friends, I'm going to understand this better because I'm going to flip to another verse that also talks about it. Okay, so this is an example of something I should look up ahead of time because I just picked this verse completely randomly. But we're just along for the ride. This is real. This is not a fabricated teaching here. This is just what I would do if I was alone with God. That verse strikes me. So then I'm going to go over to one of the cross references, Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept in secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed. Okay. So this is telling me that the gospel and the preaching of Jesus was a mystery that is kept for secret and now revealed. Okay, so it is revealed. So all of a sudden, do you see how I'm starting to put this puzzle piece together? Then I'm going to flip back to Matthew and read more of those cross references. And I'm going to write these down. I'm going to write these questions down. I'm going to write these thoughts down and just say, man, God, thank you for helping me understand what this is talking about through your word. I'm learning about the Bible from the Bible. Y'all, cross-references is where it's at. If your Bible does not have cross references on the bottom, you could also look these up through the Bible app, or my favorite app to use as I'm reading the Bible is Blue Letter Bible. It's free. I recommend it. It's amazing. You can click on any verse that you're reading on this app, and it will list every cross reference possible for the verse that you're reading. So I call this the Bible bounce, and it's one of my favorite things to do to get to know God. I stop when something hits me, and I want to read all the different verses connected to it until I feel God's Spirit revealing something to me about what I'm trying to learn. Okay, so that's cross references. The other tool that I love to use is definitions. Yes, I'm talking about a good old-fashioned Bible dictionary. Do you remember having to do definitions and spelling? Did you guys have to do this? I'm trying to think. I think this was elementary school, maybe a little bit of junior high. We had like our testing day in English class where we had spelling words, and then we had vocab words where they would read the word. I think we had to write down the definition. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, wasn't that a ride? So I promise you it's more fun than elementary school English class. Do I have your interest? Now, here's where this becomes so beautiful. Again, do you remember what happened when I looked up the word eternal life? I assumed it was going to say heaven, duh, Hannah. And instead it's saying this, it's this greatness and deep, fulfilling life experience now through my union with Christ. That is not the definition I was expecting when I looked up the Greek word that Jesus used when he talked about eternal life. So this, again, is in the Blue Letter Bible app. Don't Google. So don't be like, okay, I read this verse in, you know, Matthew, where was I at? 11? I think it was 11. Now I'm second guessing. Whatever verse I was in. Don't look up and Google the word kingdom. Okay, here it is. Matthew 13:11. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. If you're curious about this word kingdom, don't say Google. What is the definition of kingdom? Because what we want to do is we want to look up this definition in the original language that the Bible was written in. So in the New Testament, that's going to be Greek. In the Old Testament, that's going to be Hebrew. And guys, I know this is sounding a little studious, but it's so much easier than it sounds. It's really simple, and I promise you it doesn't take you being smart. It's the beauty of touching an app, okay? So I just pulled up Matthew 13:11 in my Blue Letter Bible app. I click on the verse, and then I'm going to click on something called your concordance. And this is a fancy word, essentially for definitions. And what I get to do is scroll down and click on the word kingdom. And it is going to give me the definition for the word kingdom, the word in Greek. And here it breaks down what this word means. And it also shows me every time in the Bible the word kingdom is used. So I can come here and read 162 times that this word is used in the New Testament. Is that not the coolest? So here's what this slow journey starts to unveil. As we let the Bible teach us about the Bible, all of a sudden, I'm stuck on Matthew 13:11 for a week. And this is where I say to go slow, because there's not a finish line of getting through Matthew as fast as you can. I'm on an adventure of getting to know my King, my Creator, and my Father. So when I start reading these cross references and reading the definitions and reading other places in scripture that also use the same word, it comes alive. And this is how this whole podcast started, because God's word came so alive to me. It was like, there's so much goodness in here. And for years, I just thought of it as an exercise program that was boring and hard and monotonous. And I've heard these stories before. And instead, now it feels like a date. Like, it feels as though I get to know God as he leads me through the journey of his word. So this is why I'm so passionate about this in step four, because the Bible teaches us about the Bible. And if you're not sure where to start, I personally started in the book of John. I think it's a great place because you're following the life and the words of Jesus. And the Old Testament is telling us he's coming. much of the New Testament books are summarizing what it was like when he was here and how we move forward. But there's something about this beauty of these years where Christ himself was walking the earth and we got to see what he did and what he said and hear it straight from him that pulls from beginning to end the whole scripture together. And I think John is a beautiful place. If that's not your jam or you want something different, I will also tell you that 1st and 2nd Peter, I think, are my favorite books of the Bible right now. So that's another great place. So you can do this on your own. You can do this through a Simply Bible workbook. But all you need is your word, God's spirit, and a pen. And this leads me to point number 5, the last point of help I'm bored in the Bible. Follow where the spirit leads you. So what would you say if every time that you sat down in the Bible for the next month, well, let's be generous, for the next year, I, Hannah Nitz, promised you that I would be there with you. Wouldn't that be cool? I would sit right next to you. I would help you see the cross references. I would point out the words. Hey, this word sounds fun. Let's figure this one out together. I would help you make connections. I would jump up and down with you when you uncovered something cool. Or I would cheer you on as you were in the right path, as you started reading through Matthew and all of a sudden come to this idea, my eyes are blessed for they see, my ears are blessed for they hear. And you're like, what is this? And I'm like, yes, keep going. Look at that. Look at that. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, could to have your own personal, like, Bible God cheerleader next to you, okay? Now, let me take it up a notch. What if God himself was sitting next to you doing that? Wouldn't that be wild? That would be way better than me doing it for you. Like, God himself sitting next to you being like, yes. Or being like, hey, look up that word. Or all of a sudden, a word just jumps off the page to you and you look over at God and he winks and is like, yeah, that's the one. So you ready? You ready for what I'm going to tell you? John 16, 13 through 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, okay, so this is Jesus telling us about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God in us and with us. So listen to this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This, my friend, is a word directly to you. Jesus is saying, the Spirit himself will reveal you to me. You will learn about me and hear my words from the Spirit of truth that guides you to all truth. As we're in his word, this is what we depend on. We say, I'm not reading this just to read this. Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, Comforter, will you guide me into the word and illuminate and reveal what you want me to see? Now, here's the important thing. I need you to follow that spirit. Because when we get back into our own agenda and are like, no, I need to finish this book, we miss it. Let him light it up. And when you feel that curiosity, something that just gets in your head and it won't come out as you're reading the word, something that stands out to you, a question that keeps coming up, that's the Spirit. And he wants to reveal things to you. And I promise you, that will not be boring. My friend Laura used an analogy when she was teaching about learning about God from God that I've used many times because it is profound to me. My sweet friend Laura, who has 5 kids now, by the way. Do you guys remember when Laura was on the podcast a few times? She just had twins in June. Congratulations to the Veal family. I adore you. So mom of 5. She said, if I'm in the kitchen and having a hard day and I turn to my husband, Cody, and I say, Cody, do you love me? And he turns and he says, yeah, of course, Laura, I love you. And we keep going. She's like, that's great. That was a great moment. And I'm so thankful that my husband loves me. She said, but if I'm in the midst of the chaos of the 5 kids or doing the dishes or late at night after everyone goes to sleep and I'm cleaning up the house and I'm folding the laundry and out of nowhere, Cody comes around the corner And he grabs my face and he looks at me in the eye and says, Laura Veal, there's no one in the world that I'd rather do this with than you. I love you. I adore you for who you are. She was like, let me tell you, that hits different. And it does. If you're in a relationship and you prompt something like, hey, do you love me? Hey, do you like this outfit? Hey, what do you think about this choice? And they just give you a quick yes or no answer. It's like, okay, great. But if you weren't even asking for it, and out of nowhere, someone who loves you comes up to you and just surprises you with this love and this adoration, that hits different. And friends, if you're bored in the Bible, what I would say is maybe, just maybe, you've approached it more as the question of saying, hey, God, do you love me? And when he answers, yes, it's like, oh, okay, cool. But have you gone in his word with no agenda, no rush, and just said, Father, reveal whatever you want to reveal to me? And out of nowhere, you're in Matthew and you're reading about the kingdom and you're reading about the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom. And all of a sudden you read the cross references, you read the definitions, you Bible bounce around, and everything in you is saying, hey, Hannah, I revealed this to you. That is amazing. And that is where we don't get bored, because we are following where the Spirit leads us and we get to know our Father because he's there. He speaks through his word. He reveals through his word. And my goodness, is it good? Sometimes I get a little nervous about the number of absolutes I speak in, like, this will always be the most delightful thing. You should always go slow. You should never use a Bible study. And I just want to stay for the record that nothing that I'm saying is this absolute. Like, if you are delighting in time with your God in a Bible study, that's amazing. If you're like my friend who's powering through the Bible in 4 months, that's incredible. But when you're coming and saying, help, I'm bored, these are just some of the things that I often share. And I just kind of want to put that as a caveat. There's no absolute in a lot of this stuff, okay? So don't, if I'm saying something that's going different from what you're doing, you're all right. Don't get too worked up about it. As long as you are enjoying in the journey of getting to know God, that's my heart and that's the main focus, all right? That's really what we're about. So, man, I just am so excited for these conversations, and my prayer is really that as we end this episode, leave this conversation, that you take it with you, you go hide in a closet, hide in your basement, hide in your car, hide somewhere alone with God and talk to him about all this and say, God, I want to delight in you. I want to know you. I want to enjoy time in your word. Let's go, baby. That's the prayer that I can't wait to hear rise up from the church all over the world of God. Open our eyes to see you, to know you, and to love you.